the 4th of July orator, a man who comes to us from the nation's capital to bring us straight from the, straight from the horse's hoof or something like that, our inspirational message of the day, Larry Rasmussen.
Of all of the introductions that I've received, that is the most recent. Today is a great day. As we sang My Country, 'Tis of Thee, and heard the declaration read this morning, did not our hearts burn within us? That was because of the Florentine lasagna and lumpy yogurt we had last week. Today is the 4th of July. Do we understand what deep meaning is hidden there? Do you think it's sheer coincidence that we ate scones before the reading of the Declaration this morning? I checked with Will Motion. It is sheer coincidence. But surely it is not without significance that every year for 202, the 4th of July has fallen on a national holiday. Surely it is not without significance that after a perilous journey through terrible storms, and though often lost, our foreparents nonetheless landed at historic Plymouth Rock. Surely it is not without meaning that the Statue of Liberty stands, arm thrust into the air in triumph. Of course, you'd stand like that too if you'd just given birth to a nation. But what does the 4th of July mean at Holden? Paul Hinderly had it exactly right last year. No coffee break, that's what. Hinderly also noted that on this historic day, when we hear that grand word, American democracy, our minds drift wistfully back to where it all began, Greece. But, dear friends, we must talk of today, for we have fallen upon evil times. We are all a leak. We have suffered a serious breakdown of morality. And we now know from Richard Nixon's memoirs that we missed a golden opportunity. If this country had wanted moral leadership, he writes, and had been willing to pay a halfway decent price for it, I would gladly have provided it. Today, the chilling winds of a new Cold War blow from Africa to the Caribbean and even down this very U-shaped glacial valley. Why do we just stand here? Because if we stood up there on Martin Ridge, we couldn't hear, that's why. Friends, does it not alarm you to know, as Paul Haynes so presciently pointed out already in 1969, that one out of every three people in the world today is born a communist, and there are presently four pregnant women in the village? Do you think Harold Cherson was just being subtle when last week he had a session in Koinonia on an introduction to Marxism? Not subtle, Harold. Not subtle at all. Do you regard it sheer chance that the only time that all of us are gathered each and every day in the same place that we're asked to sing in unison from the red hymnal? Do you think it's sheer coincidence that when the chances are only 1 in 26 that Holden and Havana begin with the very same letter of the alphabet? Do you think it coincidental that we just installed a new director whose name is German? Exactly. Exactly as was Karl Marx's. With Hinderle or Norstadt, we were safe. But with Schramm, what good thing can come out of Doe Hill? So why do we just stand here? Because, I told you before, if we stood up there on Martin Ridge, we couldn't hear. That's why. Yet, dear friends, we have faced great dangers, many perils, numerous enemies, catastrophic time, and high real estate taxes before. And what happened? We got wasted, that's what. But we are, after all, patriots. Actually, the word patriot comes from two words, pater, meaning father, and iot, which is the shortened form of idiot. It means father was an idiot, which does make one wonder why we call ourselves that. But so we are. And we forget not the host of patriots who have marched before. Martin Luther, for example, who dropped the gauntlet, then picked it up again, and got the whole damned war of independence started by nailing the 95 theses to the church door at Wittenberg in deepest, darkest Ohio. Now, some say he actually threw down the gauntlet and used masking tape. This is doubtful, since gauntlets were not even invented yet. Others doubt the War of Independence can actually be traced to Luther. But the stunning logic of Paul Hayne, the patriot who fathered this theory, is utterly persuasive. He asks, are we justified in this contention? Well, we know we are justified by faith. And we know that faith is the evidence of things not seen. And we've not seen any evidence at all for this. Therefore, it's true. Our aortas virtually bursting with gratitude, let us solemnly call the roll of our heroes and our heroines. N. Nicholson Nicholson, who helped Washington defeat Cornwallis at decisive Yorktown by locking Cornwallis in the latrine for 3 crucial days, just when Cornwallis really needed to go. As Cornwallis later said of Yorktown, some days are better than other days. Gwendolyn Olson Olson. Let's hear it for Gwendolyn. Who pushed huge erratics from unstratified glacial lateral moraines into the cirques and tolls and dams and burps of the charging British, and thereby Isaac Cherson the Elder, who stuffed alfalfa sprouts into the mouthpieces of the British trumpeter, thereby allowing Washington to cross the alfalfa safely at Delaware on the Trenton. Mary Michelson Mary, who lovingly brought it to the attention of Betsy Ross that she had taken the wrong pattern and was sewing a Union Jack. Peter Cohan Cohan, who at Lexington and Concord threw a pot with terrifying accuracy and broke it. P.D.Q. Bach, the most famous of all, who, as he imagined the Redcoats to be storming the University of Southern North Dakota at Hoopole, nevertheless calmly composed his masterpiece, Eine kleine Nichtmusik, the piece that became the inspiration for Francis Scott Key's The Star-Studded Spaniel. Jean-Pierre Lefon Sigurdsson, who, rather than surrender to the British at Toronto, bravely crossed the border in the dead of winter and surrendered at Buffalo. These we shall never forget as long as they live. But it is not enough to cradle them in the rockers of our memory. We must carry the cause on to this time and place, right here and right now in H-O-L-D-E-N. V I L L A G E C H E L A N W A C H I N G T O N U N I T E D S T A T E S O F A M E R I C A. Nine, eight, eight, 1, 6. Dear friends, fellow patriots, this is serious. What needs to be done at H? O L D E N. What needs to be done at Holden in order to honor this solemn occasion? One, to beautify America at Holden, we must get rid of those unsightly and unhealthy ore tailings. Thank you. Thank you. This we can do by sending out with each person who leaves the village a jumbo 30-cent size bag of tailings. The tailings would thereby be spread across the pastures of this great land in cute little dried round brown mounds that would remind us of Holden. This policy will admittedly prove a bit of a problem in Minnesota, which would be covered under 3 feet of tailings in 10 years. But that's Rudy Perpich's problem, not ours. Two, Holden must and can demonstrate some respect for the leadership of America. Some of us have been here for 3 weeks and have yet to see a single grit. Shame, shame on you, patriot, Will Motion. Just because you found it hard to vote for a president with a mouthful of chiclets. Five. And Holden, we must come to care deeply for America's present crises. We hardly even believe there is an energy crisis, but there is. And so I want to propose right here and right now that we adopt as the Holden summer theme, Lighten Our Darkness. Let me close. Let me close these 18 minutes of taped remarks by quoting a powerful member of the United States Senate, Senator Udall, who, as the senator from Arizona, represents 250,000 square miles of kitty litter, asks all of us, why do we just sit here? Because if we sat up there on Martin Ridge, we couldn't get to earthquakes with Larry Collins at 11:30, that's why.
Here follows a portion of the dedication exercises of the miniature golf course, which was designed and set up by Larry Collins. The dedication song is by Jack Ledbetter and Paul Hain, the poem by Jack.
Who will lay the axe to the root of the trees? I think that I shall never see a hazard rougher than a tree that stands that green to guard and make my shot extremely hard, a tree whose leafy arms extend to block the mashy shot I send, a tree that stands in silence there while angry golfers rave and swear. A cure for trees has here been found. We keep the ball upon the ground. Potting greens were made for me and all who cannot miss a tree.
The dedication of the Holden Tailings Golf Course, July 4th, 1978, for Larry Collins. These holy holes are holy hours, hours filled with bent backs, eyes bright following the ball, the wall of mental pain, these boards, rocks, rustic putters beneath the sky among the pines we dedicate today. Far from Scotland's moors and St. Andrews, and far from Burning Tree, Pebble Beach, and Torrey Pines, we gather here to celebrate our Holden Open, Masters, U.S. Open, and British Open, our Holden Grand Slam, our Big Nine, we dedicate today. Let the word go out. A new era, a new challenge. Nicklaus, Palmer, Player, the names will ring out in shouts of pain and joy as backs bend, as knees bend, as eyes sight along the graveled fairways, fairer by far than green courses, because here Railroad Creek courses pell-mell in its rocky path. The breezes soughing in the pines, the cottonwoods drifting snow across the wind. This we dedicate today, another part of Holden Hilarity in grateful thanks for the gift of joy.
Well,